There was this one magic moment in time when only one person in the whole world, according to the Gospel of John, only one person walking planet Earth who knew the good news that Jesus had risen. That Jesus Christ is alive. It was the ultimate breaking news story that would forever change the course of human history. For that brief sacred moment in time, this one person made up the entire church. The whole story of the resurrection hinged on what that one person would do with the truth. Now, throughout the rest of my message, I want you to think, if you were that one person, what would you have done? Would you have gone to friends and family to tell them that Jesus had risen? Would you have shouted it in the streets? Would you have got your phone out and started putting it all over the place? Would you have gone somewhere really public and just said, "He's alive! Jesus is risen!" What would you have done if you were that one? I know, you may be thinking, who was that one? According to John, it was Mary Magdalene, or Mary Magdala. The one who the Roman Catholic Church calls the apostle to the apostles. By the way, her name appears in Scripture more than half of the disciples' names, or almost as much as half the disciples' names. Men like Thomas, men like James, son of Alphaeus, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. Being named in Scripture is a rare thing, especially in the Gospels. For example, what is the name of the woman at the well? Do you know? No. And she covers up the whole chapter. And yet we never know her name. What about the man with leprosy who came back and thanked Jesus for healing him? Do we know his name? No. What about the woman whose son had died, and they were on the way to the funeral, and Jesus rose him, raised him back to life? We don't even know her name or the boy's name. And there were large crowds of followers of Jesus. He had many more disciples than the 12. But we know so few of their names. So when a gospel writer decides to tell you a person's name, oh, it's a big deal. It really does matter. Mary Magdalene stood out because she was among the women, and her name was to be remembered. Not only is Mary Magdalene mentioned in Scripture, but she's mentioned by name at least over a dozen times. One thing we notice in Scripture is how often a person is named shows their importance and their closeness to Jesus in the Gospels. For example, we all know Peter, James, and John. If I ask you to name all 12, I think some of you may struggle. I may struggle for a moment. But we all know Peter and James and John. And they were known to be the closest of Jesus' inner circle, right? Their relationship with him was important. It was deep. So was Mary Magdalene's. Not only how many times a person is mentioned, but in the order in which they are mentioned matters. For example, Peter's name always comes first, because Peter was considered the leader of the 12. He always spoke on their behalf. In the early days of the church, he would lead the church. So the order is important. So every time there's a group of women mentioned in Scripture, Mary Magdalene's name is always mentioned first. Magdalene. It means strong tower. And surely she was a strong tower. What I want you to see this morning is that Mary was a committed follower of Jesus Christ. That she was all in. That she committed her way to following Christ. Mary comes from a town called Magdala. Thus her name, Mary Magdalene or Mary Magdala. Magdala is a seaport town on the Sea of Galilee. It was a fishing town. Mary would have seen the boats go out and the boats come in. She would have been concerned about the fishermen. Did they make it back or did they have a good outing? Because her food source would depend upon it. I'm sure Mary ate a lot of fish in her day. Now, it's interesting, Magdala is never mentioned in Scripture as a place that Jesus visited. But I kind of think he did. You know, not all that Jesus did is in the Gospels. We don't know for sure. But Magdala is right there. And when Jesus would have traveled from like Nazareth to Capernaum, he would have to go through Magdala. I mean, it's just the way the road goes, the way they go, he would have to stop. And archaeologists have dug in the city of Magdala and they found a synagogue there. It's very quite possible that Jesus preached a message in the synagogue. And there he encountered Mary Magdalene. I don't know where or when, because the Bible doesn't tell us that she where or when she encountered Jesus, but we know somewhere, at some time in Jesus' ministry, he had an encounter with Mary Magdalene, or better put, Mary Magdalene had an encounter with him, and it changed her life. And she became a committed believer. She experienced a change that was far greater than the change that was going around town. Because Magdala was one of those cities that was a hotbed for revolution. It was one of those little seacoast towns that when they had their first revolution around the turn of the new century that revolted, and many of the men came from that city. So I'm sure that the news, and they didn't want Rome over them, and, you know, they who would, and they wanted to revolt, and so there was always talk about a revolution. But the revolution she experienced was so different, because it totally transformed her. And she became a strong presence, or the premier witness to Jesus' death and his resurrection. Magdalene was there. Mary was there. When all the other disciples fled, she wouldn't leave Jesus. She stood firm in her faith when others doubted. When she went to the tomb, she met the angel who told her, "He's not here, he is risen." When all Peter and John saw was dirty laundry left behind. She was there when Jesus first encountered anyone after he had rose from the grave. He spoke to Mary Magdalene. All four Gospels are unanimous that Mary Magdalene was the premier witness to the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mary's testimony, her story, lit a fire that changed the world. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Who was Mary? It's easy to get confused because there's so many Marys in the New Testament. Which one was Mary Magdalene? We first meet Mary in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through the very city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanne, the wife of Chazar." I know it doesn't look how it's, but it's pronounced differently than it's spelled. "Herod, steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." You may know that Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus and was possessed by demons. But look at that number again. Not one, not two, 7 demons. I can't imagine being tormented by 7 demons. I've never met a person ever who's been tormented by 7 demons. I have met a demon-possessed woman before and a man before, and when we pastored down the low country or on staff down the low country. But I can't imagine encountering someone with 7 demons. Her life must have been pure agony. Her life must have been pure pain. I don't imagine she could hardly even function. Bible scholars, some will say the number 7, because it means complete or whole, it means that she was completely whole, completely possessed by a demon. I don't know. The Bible says 7 for a reason. More than likely 7 demons. And if 7 demons are in you, you're completely possessed. There's like no maybe about it, right? You are possessed. She was afflicted. She was in a world of trouble. She was a prisoner to her own affliction. There was never a break. There was never a day off. There was never a normal day once she was possessed. But Jesus came. And at some point, somewhere, whether it was in Magdala or somewhere else, she encountered Christ. And when she did, he set her free from all the demons that resided within her. Her life was totally changed and transformed. She was now a new person, right? Because no longer were these demons tormenting her, but she was free. All the pain that she'd been experiencing was no more. She had soundness of mind. She could make her own decisions again. She could decide what she was going to do and what she was not going to do. Her life had been changed. Can I tell you, Jesus is alive, and he's changing lives today. People are being set free from things that have held them back, chains and bondages and even demons. God is setting them free by the power of Jesus Christ. As we sang this morning, my chains have fallen because Jesus has set us free. You know, since my wife's not in here, you know the old hymn, I serve a risen Savior? Remember, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today, right? He walks with me. See, I'm thinking because my wife's not here. She'd be frowning. She'd probably hear me in the nursery door going, oh, no. But he lives, salvation to impart. What happens when salvation is imparted? A life is changed. You're changed, right? He says, you ask me how I know he lives? How? He lives within my heart. Once you've experienced the resurrection of Jesus, and he begins, as we think today, resurrecting you, and your life begins to change, you know that he is alive, that he is risen. It's no wonder that Mary wanted to fully commit her life to following this man. She would financially support Jesus and the disciples throughout the rest of his ministry. She wasn't going to leave Jesus. She was watching him as he was being falsely accused, as he was being beaten, as he was put to death on the cross. She followed his body to the grave. And she was the first to experience the resurrection. And she couldn't keep quiet. If you were that one, what would you have done? She's the key witness to the resurrection. The gospel's message in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at today very quickly. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and this is most likely Jesus' mother, but again, there are many Marys, and Matthew doesn't exactly tell us which Mary, came to see the tomb. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They literally passed out. Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice! So they came and held him by the feet. Now, look at that picture. They're holding him by the feet. Jesus isn't a ghost. He's physically risen from the grave. And they worshiped him. Wouldn't you too? Wouldn't you give him praise at that moment and say, thank you. Oh, you are alive. You have risen. Oh, Lord, I praise your name. Because death is defeated. Sin is conquered. No grave will hold us because he is risen. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Mary Magdalene sees the empty tomb, hears the voice of the angel, and is the first to meet the Savior, and then goes and shares the story with his disciples. But it's so important to understand. It's so important not to miss this. The first person to witness the resurrection wasn't a man. It wasn't one of his disciples. It was a woman. Now, I know in our society today you're saying, what does that matter? That's crazy. But back then, in that time period, the testimony of women were not trusted in their day. A woman's testimony was considered worthless. They were not even allowed in a court as evidence. It was literally Jewish law that said this. Put it up on the screen, Case. It said this. These are considered unfit. Gamblers with dice. Okay, I get that. Those that lend interest. Pigeon racers. That one I had to think about for a moment. Those who trade in the produce of the sabbatical year. And slaves. This is a general principle. All evidence that a woman is not eligible to give. In other words, a woman was not eligible to give a testimony in the court of law. These people mentioned above, are also not eligible to bring. So if you're a gospel writer, and your goal is to convince the world that Jesus has risen, would your first witness be a woman? No. Your first witness would have been a man. But Mary was chosen. Why? Because it's true. They're just stating the facts as they happen. They're not trying to change the story to make it more believable. They're just telling you as it is. And by the way, Mary matters. And Mary mattered to Jesus. And because she mattered to Jesus, Jesus revealed himself to her because she was so faithful to him. If you're someone who has never been made to feel important or significant. If you're someone who feels like your voice doesn't matter, that you got voices in your head that are saying, you don't have anything important to say, just be quiet. Or you're not as important as so-and-so. Stop and take a look at Mary. And realize that even if this is how others view you, or you view yourself, that is not how Jesus views you. We have a God that doesn't just use the rich, the talented, the powerful, the gifted. He uses whoever is willing. We have a God who desires to use every voice in here to be the one to proclaim that he is arisen, that he is alive, that the gospel is a good news for salvation. I don't care what others say about you or what you may think about yourself. I want you to know, again, your voice matters. If others have made you feel small, and so if you have that you have no right, you have a God who says, I can do great things through you. I want to use your voice because your voice matters. If you've been told by people you have nothing important to say, I want to remind you that God has given you a story and a testimony. The day you accepted Christ, no matter how you came, no matter where you came, is your story. That he is risen, that he's alive, is your testimony to share with someone else. That you can be the one. Because in Mary, we see a woman who never expected what God had in store for her. She never could have ever dreamed or imagined that one day she would witness the greatest event in all of human history. That she would witness the angel and the empty tomb first. That she would be there and see and encounter Jesus Christ. She never dreamed that that would happen to her. That all humanity would hinge upon her testimony. But God had great things in plan for her. And you don't know what great things God has in plan for you. When you share He is risen and someone comes to know Christ, nothing will change your life like that. I like what Ephesians 3:20 says. You probably know the scripture, but it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think," right? "According to His work within us." That Jesus can do more in us than we can think or imagine. Let me kind of draw this to a conclusion by talking about Mary. One more thing you need to know about Mary. There's a myth that's gone around for years that Mary was a prostitute. It's just a myth. I've heard it preached many times that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The Bible never says that. Nowhere in all the dozens of scriptures that it mentions the name of Mary Magdalene is the word prostitute follow or come before. So where did it come from? Well, Luke first gives her story in Luke chapter 8. The chapter right before that is Luke chapter 7, right? And at the end of Luke chapter 7, there's a woman who comes to Jesus in the middle of all the house of the Pharisee who invited Christ to come. He's there, he's kneeling down, he's eating his meal, and enters this woman with an alabaster jar of perfume. And you know the story. She opens the perfume, anoints his feet, and worships him. While the Pharisees made fun of her and Jesus. So people assume that because that story precedes the mention of Mary Magdalene next, that Mary Magdalene must have been that woman. But we don't know. Does it matter? Not really. Matter of fact, it was Pope Gregory I in the 500s that came up with this theory. And that's where it had its origins. But the reason why I share it is this. Maybe as you look back at your life, maybe you have been given a reputation about you that's not true. Maybe someone has given you a reputation that you didn't earn or is not true. Or maybe you did earn it. But now it's under the blood of Jesus. I want to remind you, your identity is not found in who you used to be. It's not. I said this many times. You are a child of God. And your identity is in Christ. A church member I was talking to the other day says, "Pastor, you're always telling us that our identity is in God, and that I'm now a new creature in Christ, that I'm a child of God." And I thought, well, that's good. I'm glad that it finally is sinking in. Because I want to get deep in your soul that you know who you are. That you belong to Jesus Christ. That whatever your reputation was in the past, whether it's true or not true, it doesn't matter. It comes under the blood of Jesus. So you have every right to stand up and be the one who says He is risen. He is alive. He is risen. Mary Magdalene is the first one who shares the story and says that he is alive, that he is the one. It doesn't really matter who got to the tomb first or who saw Jesus first. After her, because John was younger, he outran Peter to the tomb and got there. And slowly but surely, people begin to realize when they went to the tomb and there was no body that could be come up with, that Jesus had risen. And the message began to spread. Matter of fact, Jesus began to appear to over 500 different followers. We don't know hardly any of their names, but each one mattered to Christ. Each one was following him and committed, and he's like, I'm risen. And they begin to share, and others came encounter with Christ. So much so that it continues even today. Around this world this morning, people are gathering and they're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we can't just celebrate and not go and tell. We need to take Mary Magdalene's example and be the one who will share and say, he's not in the grave, he is risen. Saw a guy with a camera and a microphone, I don't know which news reporter he was from, I can't remember. It wouldn't matter. If I told you one, you wouldn't believe me. If I told you the other one, you go, oh yeah, that's right. I'm not going to tell you anyway. Because you know how people are with media today. But somebody had a mic, and they were walking around. They're asking people, who is Jesus Christ? And I heard a lot of people say, didn't he die? Didn't he die? Do you know? I know it's hard to believe because we live in the buckle of the Christianity belt in America. But that buckle's getting awful loose even here. How many people believe or know that Jesus is risen? If we don't tell them, who will? Who will? Wherever we go, may we tell others about Jesus. May we be like Mary Magdalene. Yeah, she was insignificant to her culture. Yeah, she didn't. She was put down because of her background, having all those demons, and maybe some thought she was even a prostitute, one of the prostitutes that followed Jesus. And maybe her reputation wasn't the best. But by God's grace, she was saved. By God's grace, she was made whole and clean. And now she has a story that she's got to tell. My prayer is that this Easter that we realize we have a story to proclaim. We have a story to tell. Would you bow your heads with me?